Now, it's our desire today to put down a foundation for the book of Numbers, first of all. This book can be, I think, called the book of arithmetic of the Old Testament, or of the Bible, for that matter. It's called Arithmoi in the Septuagint, and that means arithmetic. We get our book Numbers from that. The theme of this book, however, I call it Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan thought of the name before I did, however, and I've plagiarized his name for the book of Numbers. Here you have the walking, the wandering, the working, the warring, the witnessing, and the worshiping of the pilgrim, God's pilgrim in this world. It's a handbook for pilgrims. Chart and compass come from thee. And here it is. This book is helpful for us today. It's a roadmap for the wilderness of this world, and the lessons the children of Israel had to learn are lessons that you and I will have to learn. And that's the way God intended for it to be for you and me. The thing that the New Testament says, for whatsoever things were written in earlier times were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's Romans 15:4. And then in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happen unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. And then in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then in 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And then finally in John 17, beginning at verse 14, and this is our Lord's great high priestly prayer, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. Now we come here to this book of Numbers, which is the fourth book of the Pentateuch, the fourth book that Moses wrote. We saw last time Leviticus, and actually we haven't come anywhere since Leviticus because they are still camped at Mount Sinai. And we find in the first book of the Old Testament of the Pentateuch in Genesis, we have the creation and the fall in the beginning, and the children of Israel were then in the loins of Abraham. And then we come to the book of Exodus, and it's the great book of redemption, and they went down into Egypt, but Exodus is the way out of Egypt. In the brick kilns of Egypt is where we find them, and God delivers them out of that. And in the book of Leviticus, we have the book of worship and fellowship, and God spoke to them out of the tabernacle, Vayikrah, and he called unto them. Now we come to this book, and it's a book of Pilgrim's Progress. And it gets its name of Numbers from the census that we have here in chapter 1, and then another census over in chapter 26. And we might as well at this point make a comparison of the two. And it reveals the tragedy of these people in the wilderness. In chapter 1, here, verse 46, we read that there were 603,550, and these were of the fighting men, that is, those in the army. And in the 26th chapter, verse 51, there were 601,730. In other words, there were 1,820 less. Now, God had said to them, be fruitful and multiply, but they are losing instead of gaining in the wilderness. Their walking had been turned to wandering, and they didn't advance an inch. We find that when you come to the 20th chapter of the book of Numbers, where are they? Well, they are at Kadesh Barnea. Well, that's where they refused to go in the land, and after 40 years in the wilderness, they're back there at Kadesh Barnea. They just haven't been anywhere. It's like riding a merry-go-round. You get off where you got on. 150 to 200 miles from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. 11 days' journey. That's about what it was. And they spent 30 days at Kibroth. In other words, they spent 40 years on a journey which should have taken them 40 days. And what was it that slowed them down? Well, the thing that slowed them down was unbelief. It's revealed that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And we'll see that as we go along. Now, we probably should attempt to ascertain the number that had come out of Egypt now. We are in a book that deals with numbers. We are told here that in round figures, there were 600,000 fighting men. And I'm giving you now the estimate of Dr. Melvin Grove Kyle. I was in his class. He was a great Egyptologist and editor of the ISBE, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, and at one time editor of the National Geographic. A man who was a great archaeologist and a great man, but he was as dull and dead as any man possibly could be in his lectures, but he sure could give you a wealth of information if you'd listen to him, and that always made it intensely interesting to me. Now, we have here 600,000 fighting men, and Dr. Kyle said that approximately 400,000 women. Then there were 200,000 older men, senior citizens, and there would be approximately 800,000 children. And then there was a mixed multitude that followed. They were about 100,000, and that gives you an estimate of 2,100,000. And that does not include the tribe of Levi, and these are the ones who came out of the land of Egypt. I personally think it would probably be nearer 3 million than 2 million, but no one can argue about it because we do not have exact figures. The best figures that we have are here. Now, that tells us something about this book, and there are other things that we'd like to say concerning it, but we'll pick up those great truths as we go along. Now, we have here, and I probably should take a moment to say a word concerning this. I do hope that you have our notes and outlines for the book of Numbers. I have in it two charts that are invaluable in the study. One chart is of the tabernacle and the way the children of Israel camped around the tabernacle. Now, if you think for one moment that they were a mob just going through the wilderness, helter-skelter, harum-scarum, you're wrong, because no group ever marched as orderly as they did. And we'll see that in this first 10 chapters here, in fact, from chapter 1 through chapter 10, verse 10, you have the order of the camp. And I'm sure you'll be impressed by the way that God insisted upon the order of this camp. And you'll recall that Paul said to the believers in Corinth, let everything be done decently and in order. Everything that God does, He wants done in order. He wants that done, and that's the way He does things. Have you ever looked at a rose, looked down deep into it, pulled its petals aside, and taken a look? My, I tell you, He sure put that together nicely, didn't He? Ever notice a tree? He does a very good job in making a tree. And any piece of fruit that you want to pick up. In fact, this universe that we're in is very orderly. There'd be a lot of things bumping together if it wasn't orderly. However, there's plenty of space to maneuver, and the Lord has it so arranged that it maneuvers without bumping into each other. You and I are in a remarkable universe that reveals that we have a God of power, and He's a God of order, and He is a person. And that is something that's quite wonderful. In fact, nobody but a fool could be an atheist. That's what the Scripture says. The fool that said in his heart, there is no God. And a friend of mine back east years ago, he's gone to be with the Lord now, very successful in dealing with atheists. He overheard a man one time say he didn't believe in God. And so he said to that man, he said, "Sir, I'd just like to ask you a question or two. You made a statement that you did not believe in God. Now," he said, "I want to ask you, were you sincere in making that statement?" Because, he said, "I have to infer that when a man says there is no God, either he is being insincere or else he's a fool. He's insane." Now, which, he said, is it? And the man looked at him in amazement. He said, "Well, I'm no fool." Then he says, "You must have been insincere in making a statement like that. You really didn't mean it." And this universe is telling it out too strong. The order of the universe, the power of this tremendous universe, reveals that there is back of it not only a person, but he's a genius, by the way, and he's God. Now, will you notice, we have here in the first chapter the first census, and it's of those that are able to go to war. And by the way, the second chart that I have is the way they marched on the wilderness march, and I have that also in a chart, and I hope you have that before you, because I'll be referring to that from time to time.